listening to a recording from Watnall Road Baptist Church.
And it's headed, Treasures in Jars of Clay. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Amen.
Well, I'll never forget the most powerful sermon that was ever preached to me. And actually, it wasn't preached. Oh dear, hang on. It's one of those days today, isn't it? It wasn't a preacher who gave it to me. It was actually someone who wasn't a Christian. I was at Thurrock Technical College at the time with Joe Pasquale, no less. And I taught him everything he knew, joke-wise, by the way. And I was in the common room, and I was just about to go out, and I said, "Well, I'm off now." And someone said, "Where are you off to then?" And I said, I'm rather pleased with myself, "Christian Union." And there was this stunned silence, and this little voice from the back said, "What, you? A Christian?" And I was really shocked by that, because I thought, you know, I'd been witnessing and was living the Christian life, and it actually struck me I hadn't made much of an impact. And it was a few weeks later we had an evangelist from Youth for Christ come along, and he said something that just cut me right to the heart. He said, "You know, if you tell your friends you've got Jesus and you're no different to them, why are they going to be interested? They want to see changed lives. They want to see Jesus making a difference in your life." And it really struck me the importance of my witness for Jesus. Now, we're in this series, Mission Possible. In fact, it's a mini-series. We finish it today. And there is a point to this, because we're thinking about evangelism. And as David said earlier on, we are going out on the doors to visit people in the church. And don't worry, you know, it's just simple, making yourself known and inviting them. You don't have to put your foot in the door and be like the Jehovah's Witnesses. It's just saying, "Hey, you know, we're your neighbours. We'd love you to come along, and you're very welcome." And we've got the guest service that's coming on the 8th of December. And my heart, as we look forward to 2020, is that it will be a year when we focus on evangelism undergirded by prayer. And I've said right throughout this series, you know, I pray about the vision statement, which is hope in the heart of our community through engagement with encounter with God and one another, engagement with our community, coming alongside people who are vulnerable and in need, being partners of people of peace to build a kinder, safer community, and evangelism, telling the Jesus story in word and deed, and discipling new believers to live for Jesus and tell others for him. And when I pray for these things, you know, I give thanks for everything that goes on, but my conviction is actually the one we're not so strong on is the third E, on evangelism. And it's not surprising, because evangelism's not easy, is it? I mean, it's relatively easy to engage with our society. It's lovely to encounter God, but evangelism's hard, especially with the mindset that's around us. But as I said, in the title of the series, it's Mission Possible. People out there actually are more ready to hear than we give them credit, And it's often the way that we do things that puts them off. A friend of mine was a teacher, and he was in the staff room once, and there was a big discussion about whether children should have races, athletic races, because they're so competitive. You know what it is nowadays? You're not allowed to be competitive in any way in some schools. And they say, oh, you know, races are so competitive and we shouldn't have them. And this lady was desperate to witness, and so she piped up and said, the Bible says the Christian life is a bit like a race. And there was like a stunned silence in the staff room. And if you could read people's mind, they were thinking, who is this weirdo here? And my friend, who was also a Christian, said it was actually quite difficult to witness after that, because the person just reinforced that image that Christians are odd. Well, none of you are odd, are you? Well, I might be a bit odd, but none of you are. And actually just coming alongside people and being normal and talking about Jesus in an ordinary way is all that's needed. We need to be ourselves. And I've been helped by a guy called Rico Tice, really good guy. I'm not in contact with him now, but I knew him when he first started out as a curate in All Souls Langham Place. And I loved his approach, because he used to say, know your personal style. You know, you might be someone who just friendly, in a friendly way, comes alongside people and gently shares the gospel. You might be someone who could address big arguments, scientific arguments, but just be comfortable, be who you are, and be comfortable with that. And that's what I want to encourage us to do as we think about witness. Jesus, before he ascended, told the disciples in Acts 1 verse 8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and in every part of the world. It's interesting that in Matthew, we see, you know, he gave the Great Commission to preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here in Acts, we've got a different slant here. It's to be witnesses. They both belong together. And this is that personal element. We have a relationship with Jesus that we go and tell people about. And we're not dispassionately conveying a message. We're telling them about a relationship we have with them. And that word witness is in the original language is very similar to ours. It's a legal word. And the New Testament uses it to bear witness to Christ, to tell people about the facts that we know. You know, a witness has seen something. A witness has experienced something and shares that, which is exactly what we do. And in Acts 23, verse 11, the Lord appeared to Paul and he said, be encouraged, Paul. Just as you have been a witness to me here in Jerusalem, you must preach the good news in Rome as well. Do you notice how witness and preaching the good news are linked together? It comes from his personal relationship with Jesus. That's what we do. You know, we know Jesus and we want to introduce people to him. So in the New Testament, a witness describes someone who was passionately involved in telling people about Jesus. And that they will be faithful to the message that Jesus gave and communicate it clearly. It's not my message, it's not your message, it's God's message that we are accountable to give clearly to people. So we're going to look at these verses in 2 Corinthians here that tell us how we can be effective witnesses. Four areas in which our witness can be effective. Firstly, our motives. Verse 1, he says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Now, if you've read 2 Corinthians, you'll know it's a book full of heartache. This is one of the most personal letters that Paul has written with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But he's pouring out his heart about some of the hardships that he's had because he's told people about Jesus. And he wants to encourage them to be faithful in Jesus and to do the same. Especially as there are people who are trying to draw them away from him. And he says, you know, we've never lost heart. We've got this ministry from God. Now, Paul is speaking as an apostle here. And the word ministry means, you know, a service. You know, we have been called to serve Jesus. We've been called to do his work. It's not our work, it's his. But he's speaking as an example for us as well. Look, this is what us apostles have done in the face of massive hardship, and we haven't lost heart, and we want to make sure you're the same. It was tough being an apostle. If you look through this letter in chapter 11, you'll see Paul describe some of the difficulties that he went through. He was flogged to death. He'd been put in prison. He'd been exposed to death many times. What kept him going? It was God's mercy, he said. God's mercy. Paul used to be a man who persecuted Christians. He wanted to drive Christianity right out of his country. He wanted to stamp it out. Yet Jesus appeared to him. He knew his mercy. That's what drove him. When we get discouraged, let's remember that God reached to us in his mercy. And we want to bring his mercy to other people. Maybe you're discouraged because you've tried to share the good news with your friends and they've been quite hostile to it. And actually, they've made life quite difficult for you. Well, let me encourage you with a little story of someone whom we knew. And she used to work in the civil service. And there was a gentleman there. She worked in the cabinet office, no less, actually, quite a long time ago. And a gentleman she worked with was a Christian. And every lunchtime, he used to go out giving out tracts. He was really passionate telling people about the good news. And when he had opportunity, he liked to share it with his colleagues. And she was an atheist at the time, and she was his boss. And she said, you know, I consciously made life difficult for that man. Well, some years later, she went to a carol service with her son. A fellow called Jay John was speaking there, and just God just broke in, and she became a Christian. Actually, she's passionate about telling other people about Jesus. And she said to us, she said, you know, I wish that I could go back to that man and say, you know, it wasn't fruitless. You sowed the seed, but that man had gone to glory already. But you see, that man was just driven by God's mercy, and God, in his mercy, reached out to that woman. Don't lose heart. You don't know what God, in his mercy, is doing in people's lives. So our motives are God's mercy. That's what drives us. You know, not that we want to fill the church with new people. Not that we want to have an impressive number of people. We can say, well, we had 100 saved this week. No, because we know God's mercy and we want other people to receive it. And the second thing we need to look at is our integrity. It's really important that we live what we speak. We've got to be the genuine article. And so we need these four qualities that Paul goes on to speak about. Firstly, there's honesty. In verse 2, he says, we have renounced disgraceful and secret and shameful ways. In the culture that he was talking to, there were often traveling mystics who went around. It was the Corinth, as you know, was in Greece. Greece was a place and they loved all sorts of religion apart from Christianity. They loved the mystique of these people. And you get these traveling mystics who would come around and say what people wanted them to say and charge a hefty fee. You know, rather like some of these people that you see on the TV nowadays. You know, offering all sorts of things, you know, like these kind of self-help gurus that seem to make a mint about telling people to improve their lives. You ever seen these people on telly? Get the edge with Fred, the whatever he is. I won't say his name, but you know the kind of people. There were people like that who would go around spreading this message. And actually, there were people who had started to use Christianity in that way, and it had come to Corinth, and Paul said, no! You know, we're not going to do that. We're not going to be influenced by our culture around us. We're going to renounce that because we want to be honest. We want to be plain with people and tell it as it is. We're going to be different. You know, people are sick of spin and double talk and being drawn into things. And we've just got to tell it as it is and be honest with them. There's a story about a man who was on an overseas trip. And just before he went home, he was in Australia, coming back to Britain. He rang up his wife. You know, he said, how's things? Everything all right at home? Yeah, yeah. And he says, oh, by the way, but how's the cat? He loved his cat. Dead, she said. Saying, well, why did you have to tell me that now? She said, well, what did you want to do? Wait till you get home? He said, well, you could have broken it in gently. How? She asked. Well, you know, when I was in Australia, just say, on the roof. When I got to Singapore, you could say, at the vets. When I get home, you could have said, in the ground. Just kind of break it to me bit by bit. I don't want to know that now. Okay, she said, I'll do that next time. I'll remember that. Yeah, oh, by the way, how's Granny? And she thought for a minute and she said, on the roof. The point of that is, you know, that actually, sometimes we've just got to tell it as it is. And the gospel can be really uncomfortable. It's disturbing. It's countercultural. And we also need to be really careful when we think about invitation that people know what they're being invited to. I mean, don't tell them they're coming to a nice little meal or something when actually it's not that. I've known that. You know, people will say to their friends, oh, come along, there's someone singing. Come along, there's a brilliant music group. And they forget to say everything else that goes on. Be clear as to what it's all about. I was doing evangelism many, many years ago. You can keep this on the podcast because it's like 100 years ago, but in East London. A brilliant time on a mission there. And I was with this guy. Graham Kendrick was coming to sing. Graham was always really good. And he was great, actually, at communicating with young people. He was quite young in those days, so it just shows you how long ago it was. And this guy I was with, and he said, oh, do you want to come to a concert? A folk rock concert. Didn't say it was Christian, didn't say anything else, and the kids, you know, it was a free night out. Yeah, we'll come. You know, free tea and coffee, no booze, but, you know, Coke and stuff. Yeah, we'll come. I said, actually, isn't that a little bit dishonest? You know, should we sort of say something a bit more specific? And he said, yeah. So the next person who came along, he said, would you like to come to a concert? He's a bit like Ralph McTell. Actually, that put him off anyway. But actually, they needed to know what it was. It was a concert put on by a local church to share the message of Jesus. We mustn't be underhand. If there's a meal and there's a speaker afterwards, let's be clear. You know, we've got an after-dinner speaker, and he's going to actually talk about his experience of Jesus in his life. You know, people will respect that and appreciate that. And if they don't want to go because of that, then we need to leave that with God. But at least we've been straight. So there's honesty there as part of our integrity, and also clarity. Paul goes on to say, we do not distort the word of God. Where does the good news come from? From God. Romans, it's called the gospel of God. Then what right have we got to tamper with it or leave bits out? I know people don't like hearing about sin, but it's real. And we need to know that we are sinners because Jesus came to forgive our sins. I know that people don't want to think about giving up everything for Jesus, but that's what he demands. When I was a young man, long, long time ago, and I was like, really zealous to get it right and say what the cost was, and that the evangelist who was taking the mission at our college, he'd lost his voice, and he tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, did you say you had a call to the ministry? And I said, yeah. He said, good, you're preaching in about 5 minutes' time. So I thought, what do I do? I said, what do I say? He said, just remember what I said last week and say it in your own words. And so I did, but I was added extra zeal, you know, about the cost of following Jesus. And said, you know, we really need to be ready to follow Jesus with everything we've got. And you could see some people were kind of shrinking. But one guy was sitting there listening, and he said to me afterwards, I want to become a Christian. I still wasn't satisfied. So I said, okay. If someone came this evening, put a gun to your head and said, do you follow Jesus? Would you let them shoot you? Poor fella looked terrified. He went, yeah. I said, are you sure you want to be a Christian? Anyway, he did become a Christian. And I'm glad to tell you, it's my friend Bob. We laugh about this now. Bob is still going on with the Lord now. But he said, I did slightly terrify him. So that was like the other extreme. But, you know, we really do need to spell out the cost. It's costly being a Christian. If we were in the Middle East and preaching the gospel to someone, well, it would be an immensely costly thing for them to come to Christ because they could lose their lives for it. But Jesus said we need to lay down our lives, and let's spell it out. We don't lure people into the kingdom of God. We invite them on God's terms. And then as part of our integrity, we also need confidence. End of verse 2, Paul says that we set the truth forth plainly, and we commend ourselves to every person's conscience in the sight of God. You see, we give it as it is, we give it to people, we do it in God's sight, and we look to him to work. Because it's God's work, it's God's message. He opens people's hearts. Our responsibility is to tell the good news. You look in Acts chapter 16, when the church at Philippi started, Lydia was one of the key people in that church. What does it say happened to her when Paul came? It said, the Lord opened her heart to preach the gospel. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. God has given a power in that message. You know, we don't need to pressure people. We need to tell it as it is. And I know we read in Acts that Paul persuaded people, and that was in the context of the Greek debates. But we can be confident. It's God's word, and God will do his work. And then we need humility. Verse 5, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. It's not about us, he says. It's about Jesus. That's the news. That's what we're telling people about. We're pointing people to Jesus. We are servants, but only servants, and we need our master's help. There's a story about a violinist, brilliant violinist, and he had a, you know, Stradivarius, whatever it's called. Is it a Stradivarius? People were talking about his violin and saying, how does he get that sound? That is such an amazing violin. And the attention seemed to be on his violin all the time. So one day, played beautifully, absolutely beautifully. And then he said, do you like my violin? And, yes, yes. Do you think it has a great sound? Yes, yes, they said. And he threw the violin on the floor and stamped on it. And everyone was shocked. And then he said, someone take out my Stradivarius. And the Stradivarius was somewhere else. And what had happened was he'd got an old violin, but he wanted to show them it was a violin, but it was only a violin. He was the maestro. He was the one who played it. And he could get a good sound out of anything. We are only servants. It's God who uses us. And actually, that should give us confidence as well. But let's be humble. Let's remember that. Let's not get full of ourselves. But we also need to think about our enemy. Evangelism is a battle. And verse 4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ in the image of God. Interesting phrase that, the God of this age, because it's actually a complete contradiction. You know, a God is divine, a God is eternal. A God of this age is a misnomer, actually, because it means it's temporary. But what Paul is saying is, this is no God at all. This is the spirit of the age that's been created by Satan. It's the lies of Satan. He's been compared to the birds of the air who steal the seed. He distracts people to try and stop them responding to the good news. But the great thing is that God breaks through. His light comes through. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 6. For the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's why prayer is so important. And if you don't feel that you can go on the doors, I quite understand, but come and pray. We need people to pray this through. So Paul has spoken about our motives, our integrity, our enemy, and then finally our message. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. You might look at that word preacher and think, oh, well, that lets me off the hook because I'm not a preacher. Right? Say to me, it's people like you who are preachers. Well, he's not just talking about preaching the gospel, you know, from a pulpit or from a podium or the kind of places he went to. The word there means herald, that you're making an announcement on behalf of someone really important. We are heralds of Jesus to tell people about his life, his death, his resurrection, his return, his kingdom, and his call to turn from sin and trust in him. That's our message. It's all about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, and only Jesus. So our task isn't just to convey a message. It's to bear witness. We have a relationship with Jesus, and we're sharing the reality of that relationship with other people around us. So let's be personal. Let's be powerful. Let's be passionate. in spreading the good news of Jesus. Let's be good witnesses. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you've given us that good news of Jesus. Help us to be witnesses to him. May it flow from our relationship with Jesus. May we have integrity. May we have the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're going to respond to that now. And I would ask you, if you want to recommit your life, if you want prayer about your witness, the prayer team are going to be out there. Come and pray with them. They would love to pray with you to ask that the Holy Spirit will give you power. We need to ask for the touch of the Holy Spirit. Well, let's stand to sing.
But for now, our world is broken. Son.